In this reading, we hear of two destructions, the one of Jerusalem in 70 AD, and then the coming destruction of the world as we know it. We begin in chapter 21 with verse 5. While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'The time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart. And let not those who are out in the country enter it, for these are days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Also, for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." In the name of Jesus, amen. Did you play hide and seek when you were growing up? I mean, everybody plays hide and seek, don't they? I mean, now I guess another version is ghosts in the graveyard, but hide and seek is a little bit more gentle. One of the first games I taught my little boy was how to play hide and seek, especially when mom was away. So I would explain how the game hide and seek goes, and I would tell my son Max to go hide. I would count. And as soon as I said, ready or not, here I come, it wouldn't be very long before I'd take a few steps, I would start hearing giggling and whatnot, and then he'd jump out and say, here I am. And I would say, that's not the way you play hide and seek. And it took me quite a while to finally get it. I didn't have the siblings got it right away. Of course, they probably learned from Big Brother how to do that. But there's a ready or not, here I come, that's no game. And it's our Savior's second advent. It's his return. I'll be back, he promised. And so the Lord has, over the centuries, been warning the world and telling his family to look forward to some things. And what we've heard today so far is pretty epic. It sounds like it's going to be really, really, really scary. And yet God says, don't be afraid. In fact, God says, you're going to bust out of your stalls like a young heifer or steer, and you're going to be filled with life and joy. You're going to be free. And you'll also trample underfoot all the wicked. And he wants us to be ready. And he wants us to understand that there will come a time when it's the end. And it will be forever. But when will that happen? There's been a lot of guesses. I'll save you a lot of guesses, but in this little confirmation book that we use, Lutheranism 101, there's like 4 pages of various predictions made mainly by the church, but it's not just the church that has been famous for some of the predictions. Scientists as well have predicted the end of the world as we know it. And it started, the first prediction that was very well known was AD 92. Good Friday coincided with the Feast of the Annunciation. This had long been believed to be the event that would bring forth the Antichrist and thus the end times events foretold in the book of Revelation. It didn't happen. And then January 1st, the year of our Lord 1000, many Christians in Europe predicted the end of the world on this date. As the date approached, Christian armies waged war against some of the northern European nations. The motivation was to convert them, even by force if necessary, so that they would be saved and be a part of God's family. That's quite an evangelism program, huh? But the end of the world didn't happen. I mean, it just goes on. 1033, 1496, 1794, 1843, March 21 of that year, William Miller, founder of the Millerite movement, predicted Jesus would come on that date. A number of Christians accepted his date, and it didn't happen. I mean, page 2. I mean, it just goes on. Jehovah's Witnesses have made a lot of predictions. So have the Seventh-day Adventists. Meteorologist Albert Porta predicted that the conjunction of 6 planets on December 17th, 1919, would generate a magnetic current that would cause the sun to explode and engulf the earth. It didn't happen. I mean, on and on. 1936, 1948, and on and on. 1970, 1978, 1990, 1993, 96, 97, 97, 2000. Remember Y2K? It didn't happen. Although it really freaked out a lot of people, right? Did you buy a lot of MREs? We were in central Louisiana, so we put on our marquee, don't worry, God is Y2K compliant. And we stressed out people and we made people have peace. Some didn't think it was funny. And we weren't trying to be funny. We wanted to help people think, just trust in the Lord. When people are freaking out, they don't want to hear that. But it didn't happen. Didn't happen. 2001, 2006, you know, 666. 2011, family radio host Harold Camping predicted that the world would end on May 21st, 2011. It didn't happen. And so then he said it'll happen instead on October 21st of 2011. And it didn't happen. What's interesting is Harold apologized. And let's see if I have the date. Oh, on March 8th, 2012, he said on the radio that he apologized. I scribbled this in next to this prediction and said, it's up to God. I mean, what a guy. Orthodox in a lot of ways, but a little off on end times. He apologized. I wrote at the bottom of this page, Harold passed away on December 16th, 2013, 2 days ago. The Lord did come and take him to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, but he did not come back to judge all the living and the dead. And yet we're to understand that there will come a the end. There will come a forever. When is it? When is it? Well, the Lord says, watch and pray, because you do not know when. In fact, I wrote that passage here on that page. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Mark 13:33. It's going to happen. Look forward to it. Think about what will happen when forever is ushered in. You know, our gospel reading, there are two destructions. The destruction of Jerusalem, and then the Gentiles treading underfoot the city of Jerusalem. That's been going on. Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD by the Roman Empire. Josephus writes about over a million, could have been as many as 3 million Jews in that city were put to death in the destruction of Jerusalem. So God's promises were kept. God keeps his promises of law and gospel. But he also wants us to be prepared for the second one, the signs. And so, in a way, today is a spiritual fire drill where we need to realize, ready or not, here he is. It can happen any time. So it could happen before the end of this service, this sermon, and maybe not. The Lord would have us be ready. What does that mean? What does that look like? Here's what Peter says. Let's read this together. For they deliberately overlook this fact, he's talking about the unbelieving world, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, and through water by the word of God. And we continue. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. That's the flood of Noah. Everyone who lived before Noah and up to Noah and his family lived on a different planet in the way that it was made, the way it sustained. That world was destroyed. What we're looking at right now as we see around the world, that's evidence of what the flood did. Let's read together. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. So it's the word of God now that sustains everything. The only reason why anything exists, it's the word of God. Now, can you see that? We believe that. We take God at his word. Faith says amen. He goes on, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. Gosh, who wants to look forward to that? those who believe. Those who believe. And so, Peter goes on, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? So, understanding this, what kind of people are we to be? Waiting for the and hastening the coming of the day of God. That's what we are to be, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God. So how do we hasten the coming of the day of God? By sharing the gospel with people who don't know who God is. We hasten the gathering of the elect. And when the elect have been gathered, the purpose of the church has been fulfilled. And judgment day comes. Hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. We're looking really for that. I can't wait to see that. How about you? A place that works, a place that functions, a place where people get along, where God's designs continually unfold flawlessly without the curse that God has against sin and wickedness and transgression. Now that's something to look forward to. And we get little glimpses of it in this world as we think and celebrate the wonders of this world that God has created and sustained. But those are little glimpses. We haven't seen anything yet. Yet those are reminders of what's in store for us and all who believe in what God has done to rescue sinners from their judgment that they deserve through Jesus. What's interesting about this reading today in our gospel reading is it explains why everything looks like such a mess. It explains why nations aren't getting along. It explains why people take advantage of others. It explains why you and I and the church gets pushed around and bullied. We understand. Because that's just the way it is. It's a present general condition, according to Greek technical terms. It's the way it is. It's life under the curse of God, where Jesus rules over the nations with an iron scepter, dashing them as he needs to, for the sake of the church to get the message out. And even when you and I are being pressed, even when you and I are being persecuted, we learn we still need to share the love of Jesus with our enemies. We still need to share the love of Jesus because we know how much we need it. And it saves us from all the things we're dealing with. But in that process, we hasten the coming of the kingdom of God. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And so today is a spiritual fire drill. Ready or not, here he is. How in the world can we face it? Well, by trusting him. You see, we've already experienced Judgment Day. We know what the verdict is. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished. It is paid in full." The debt that you and I have stacked up against God has been paid in full by what Jesus has done. And so even now when we find ourselves sensing guilt or fear or shame, the Lord would have us trust him. Even those little mini judgment days that we experience day in and day out when we realize we fall short, the Lord would have us trust in him in those very moments. Because we know the verdict. The verdict is forgiven. The verdict is loved. The verdict is God's grace and mercy. And so we follow him. When Jesus started his ministry, he said, "Repent, believe in the gospel, and follow me." That's what we've been doing. That's your life. That's my life. Realizing how we fall short, repentance. Trusting in the gospel, knowing that there's nothing we can do to rescue us from that. It's trusting in Jesus. And then following him, understanding that the commands that God gave through Moses are things for us to follow and to practice as feebly as we can feel at times. Knowing that we don't have to earn anything, but we've got God's grace But there's no better way to live than looking at our relationship with God and then understanding how we're to treat the people around us. That's your life and that's my life. And in all of that, we bear testimony to a different way of life. We have opportunity to share with people. I mean, think about it. My grandpa lived 100 years. What's 100 years? Think of the impact the church has on people's lives that no other enterprise in this world has. As we share the message of God's grace with sinners who are just like we are, as we tell them what God has done through His Son, they are branches pulled from the fire. Those who do not believe in the Lord are destined to face the wrath of God forever. And we have the privilege and the opportunity to share a message that rescues them from that. Think about it this way. Even if one person, only one person, goes through Journey to Christmas, is converted by it, that's enough. That's a rescue. How many people in your daily walk of life whose lives you touch can be impacted in a significant way in the name of Jesus? Think about it. The Lord would call us to trust Him and follow Him, but to also look forward to His return. Could it be today? One of the fun things I did with my kids as they were growing up was looking out in the morning. Hey, is Jesus going to come through that cloud? Or in the day, out of the blue sky? Or as the sun set in the west across the coastal range of Northern California, is going to come through that? Or a thunderhead? Is that silly? Or is that trying to help precious lives learn that there's a truth they need to embrace on a regular basis? The Lord would have us watch and pray. He wants us to look forward to it. When my dad said, when I get home, we're going fishing, man, all day long, I couldn't help but think about fishing, fishing, fishing. I would drag the gear out, unload his tackle box, much to his dismay, I'm sure, every once in a while. And maybe I'd get hooked by a hook once in a blue moon. I mean, you only have to have that done like once and you realize just how painful it is, especially when your dad has to cut the barb, you know, and pull it back out after he's removed that barb. But I mean, I just couldn't wait to go fishing. Well, what in the world is fishing compared to forever and all that God has planned for us, the trips, the activities? I mean, we don't even know. I mean, I think of heaven as riding horses up in the mountains with Jesus and in the afternoon racing 69 Z28 Camaros. Now, if none of that is there, I won't care because it's heaven. The point is, look at all that God has in store for us. Look at what God has done and what He's promised and has fulfilled so that we can look forward to. So that we can wake up in the morning and say, could it be today, Lord? So we can look out the window in the evening. Could it be right now? I mean, have you ever thought to yourself when you're facing some kind of a crazy issue, Lord, just show up and save me from this as well? But this is our hope. He'll be back. And today, it's a reminder of that. I'd like to suggest a new kind of liturgical phrase for you as you face challenges this week and as you consider wonderful things and beautiful things. I want you to start saying, I can't wait. I can't wait till I can communicate clearly with the people in my life. I can't wait till this ache in my neck is gone forever and I'm in a body that's glorified. I can't wait to see the people that have gone before me that I've missed so much in my life. I can't wait to go fishing, or I can't wait to race cars, or I can't wait. Or I can't wait just to see His face. and talk with my Savior who died on the cross to save me. I can't wait to walk with him and talk with him, even though I do that now by faith. The Lord will come, and it'll be a very sobering day for all the world and all of human life that's ever lived. We call it Judgment Day, Doomsday, but it's a day for us to look forward to. And all the signs of the times point out the reality. They also give us a view far beyond that to what God has in store for us. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are there people in your life you can't wait to see numbered among God's family? Share the gospel with them. Tell them what God has done through his Son to love us and to give us, in the sense of all the crazy things going on in our lives and the world, a peace that continues to sustain us and a joy that will take us through this world to the shores of forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.